on RSN Central, the Midweek Masterclass. The boys from the mailbag join Gareth Hall on RSN Central.
It's a very good morning to the mailbag team with the Midweek Masterclass. Jack Dickens, Pete Anthony, and Mark Roden to join me. Hello to you, Jack.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, good morning, G-Man.
And good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning to you, Gareth.
Let's start with our trainers and jockeys to follow. We'll start off with you, Dicko.
I don't want to follow them, but I want to. You can look at them favourably tomorrow at Bendigo. These are two jockeys, the lesser knowns, who ride Bendigo really well. We are talking about Mel Julius, who strikes at 11% and incredibly profitable at Bendigo, and Dylan Dunn, who goes at 13% and 19% profit on turnover from 100 rides. So that's enough rides to say that Dylan likes going to Bendigo.
All right, then. So Mel Julius and Dylan Dunn, what about a trainer to follow?
I'm so grey about Danny O'Brien. I don't know what to do. I don't feel like I deserve to promote trainers or bag trainers at the moment.
Okay, why? I just want a trainer to follow. Surely you've got a trainer that you think's going pretty well at the moment.
Well, I'm trying to go against the market, so...
Okay, so you're trying
to... Does Danny O'Brien go any worse?
Well, he's not in the greatest form at the moment, is he? He's... But
yeah, I think he might turn.
It worries me a little bit when you've got a horse that's sick, like Inspirational Girl, so you just hope the virus hasn't gone through the stable.
Finance Tycoon was awful.
Yeah, he had issues, I think, after the race, so... Yeah, it just might
I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, he's a great trainer and he's proven it over time. So you're sticking with Danny O'Brien. Pete, what about a jockey and trainer to follow for you?
We're not really getting too extravagant in this segment this week, Gareth. P. Harvey as the jockey to follow. He's begun this season reasonably well for him. His last 33 rides, 5 winners at 15%. But his last 50, he's operating at 24% win strike rate. You've got to pick the right horses with the Pontiff, typically horses that get in the forward half of the field, but he's obviously nearing that peak time of year where he'll just start to fire himself back up. So the Pont's going well enough. And look, how can you knock Grant and Alana Williams? Their last 50, 34% win strike rate. So that's 17 winners this season. They've won 12 out of 32 races with another 11 placings. They're red hot and profitable.
And they're a perfect example for you, Dicker, because I think a virus went through their camp, Pete. They were struggling a little bit a couple of months ago, but they've been able to turn that around, get their stable healthy once again, and the results speak for themselves now.
Peter and you are both pushing them to turn it around recently.
Yeah, and I think they'll have a massive carnival too, the Williams camp. Mark, what about a jockey to follow and also a trainer to follow in New South Wales?
Okay, I'm the jockey. The jockey's not called James McDonald.
Yes.
A couple who continue to outperform the market of late are Jason Collett and Brock Ryan, who, look, you would expect Brock to start to struggle as the carnival really warms up. He's been making the most of his claim, but he's been around a while, but I think he's just taken that step into maybe from the third division to the second division of riders in Sydney, and he could be on the way. But as I say, the carnival might test him a little. Guys who ride well at Kenzo, Jay Parr and Hugh Bowman are the two that stick out on the figures to me. As the trainers, where am I? Trainers, yeah. Gay and Adrian, Waterhouse Boss, continue to outperform the market, going really well. And one to watch with a particularly good Kenzo record for tomorrow's meeting is Joe Pryor.
Joe Pryor, just an interesting insight that we got from Tommy Berry. Tommy Berry joined us for the preview of the Kembla Grange meeting on Saturday morning here on RSN 927. And it was great to chat to him about how these races would set up just from a jockey's point of view. And he pointed out something really interesting, I found anyway, Mark, is that he says there's no better rider that he's ridden against than James McDonald from a wide gate. He's the best of slotting horses from a wide gate. Have you noticed that?
I noticed him... he didn't win the race, but I was very concerned about the wide gate for Tiger of Malay in its race on Saturday, and he was outside leader and travelling after about 200 metres. The rest of the field did shake out well for him, but he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to hand up to what and where he could get that outside lead spot, and then the horse just wasn't good enough on the day, but that wasn't his fault.
Dicko, have you got a horse to follow?
I think Ayrton
Yeah.
Aiton. I think we're going to get a better price now. I think we're going to the Epsom.
Gee, boss will ride.
Yep. Yeah, 50 kilos. Instead of copping, say, $3, we're going to cop $6. It's good.
Pete, what about you? Do you have a horse to follow?
Nothing out of the Saturday meeting, Gareth. We've got to be a little bit careful with some of these Belmont meetings at the moment. We've seen 3 heavy rails biases in a row, so we're all waiting with bated breath for Ascot to resume. But a bit of merit that won last Wednesday. We threw it out on the service, and it was a really nice debut win by that horse. It's a strong animal. I think it's going for a let up now, but watch for wherever it pops up in the spring.
All right, Ben. And Mark, do you have a horse to follow?
I do. It won race 9 at Kembla on Saturday. Counts a rupee. It's actually run faster overall time and better late splits than Animo, one of the headline horses of the spring. So I think not just him, but that race is going to be a really strong form reference.
So Count a Rupee, the horse to follow for Mark Roden, who had a fill-up there on the weekend. I think he was best on ground with the Mailbag team. So well done to you, Mark. Staking plans. In fact, before that, we need a punting lesson, Dicko. You seem to be in fine form today with plenty of enthusiasm, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what your punting lesson is today.
Yeah, we're going to roll off the back of, I think, what I spoke about last week, and there's tracks that we just hate. Moe would be my number one seed, tracks I hate,
yes.
But you've still got to do the work. Yesterday, we backed one in race 7. It absolutely hemorrhaged. It was $3 into $1.70 in one. We had a small bet, Gareth, not a huge bet. But we still did the work. Even though we hate the track, we still did the work, and it ticked every box, so we pulled the trigger.
Is there a case where you just say, well, I just don't want to better that track? I know that there's a few pro punters around there that just put a line through certain tracks because they just don't get on well with them.
Yeah, but say there's 5 boxes to tick.
Yeah.
At Flemington, I need them to tick 2.5. At Moe, they've got to tick 5.5.
Okay. Pete, do you have a punting lesson for us?
Yep, just on the matter of track biases, Gareth, I'm always just a little bit apprehensive with following horses that were in the worst going but had a good ride. I think a bad ride overrides a horse that's basically in the worst part of the track. So with horses that maybe settle behind the leader on a day where the rails are completely gone, I feel that that's often quite an overplayed next start factor. The market will obviously find that. I think a horse that jumped well from a wide barrier and was restrained back towards last, I'd still rather give that a little bit more of a bonus than I would a horse that's in the wrong part of the track. So it can be a little bit tricky this time of year, but that's something that's held me in good stead over my journey.
Statistic-wise, where is the best place? Where do most horses win from? Pete, you'll probably know this.
Within the first 4 runners, Gareth.
But, first 4.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you, as a pro punter, and us tips as Mark, I'll go to you, Mark, just concentrate. You only punt on horses that will settle in the first 4, or it's not as easy as it sounds.
I think I don't exclusively stick to those horses, but I try to give them everything and push them up as far as I can. And I think if you were to make a blanket rule that you're only going to back horses that settled in the first 4, you'd probably be better off for it.
We should do that. We should have an experiment, Dicko, with the Midweek Masterclass, that we just tip horses for 3 weeks. Well, it will work out a plan anyway, that are just in the top 4, and we'll see how we go. Do you like that idea or not?
Well, like what Mark's saying, we're always aiming for that.
Yeah.
And then on a Wednesday, it's sort of achievable. Saturday at Flemington, half those races, if you can tell me who's going to settle in the first 4, you can come and work for me.
Yeah.
I'll give you $100,000 a year.
Yeah. You fly that much, you can afford to pay those wages, $100,000 a year. What about your staking plans for... Oh, no, we need a punting lesson from you, Mark, first of all. You are the man in form.
I had a pretty good week last week, and it just reiterated to me how important preparation is. If you've got your work done a day plus ahead of time, then on the day, because your conditions are always going to throw up little tricks at you, be they track pattern or weather, whatever, or just even scratching, the more ahead of time you can be fully prepared, the better off you're going to be. And that feeds into your mindset too. You're just more confident.
Yeah, preparation key. Staking plan. Hey, we're going to Bendigo tomorrow, Dicko. Wonderful, spacious track. Are you confident that you can get the job done?
Yeah, I love Bendigo. I really do. I'm disappointed it's not a metro meeting, but I love it.
Yeah. Where do we start then with your bets there on Wednesday afternoon at Bendigo?
Race 2. Number. It's just loading. Stand by. Stand by, punters. Race 2, number 8. Slickback Teddy. John Allen rides, Kamani trains. This thing, which coincidentally is going to be probably last in run, it doesn't matter as much because this is a staying race. This is over 2,400 metres. This horse looks progressive. I love this horse. This is a great bet. $100 on the nose.
Right,
race 2, number 8, Slickback Teddy.
And then you've got another $100 to spend. Or you're giving it to Pete once again this week.
No. Peter, calm down. Race 4, number 5, Brassada. Leon Troy Corsons, who are warming up almost airborne, and the goat D. Oliver. They've been doing a lot of work together, these two, and it's been going very, very well. Map, again, probably settles near the back, but we've got the goat. He might be able to roll forward if he needs to. Drawn barrier 8. So $100, race 4, number 5, Brassada at the 550 with the tap.
All right, then, not scared of Rapid Achiever in that race.
Respecting,
yep.
Not scared.
Okay. All right, then, we'll go to you, Pete. What about at Belmont tomorrow?
Yeah, rail 21 metres, Gareth. Cutaway in the straight and showers increasing. So one of my favourite combinations there, wet track and cutaway.
Yes.
Look, we'll just pick the best horse on the card, shall we?
Yes.
Bella Vista, race 6. Simon Miller's got 2. Chris Parnham's on 1. William Pike's on the other in Let's Cut Loose. I think Stella Vista's the better horse. I think it's trialled better. And it's got some nice form from last prep. So Stella Vista, plonk the lot.
We'll have $200 that went on Stella Vista. We'll get that confirmed by Simon Miller. But I like it. And then we head to Mark Roden. Now, Mark, what are we doing there on the Kensington track?
I'm terrified of Kensington at the moment. It's the last three meetings there have played on pace inside, which is just so rare it's not funny. Now, we're at the 5 metre rail tomorrow, soft ground. It really should be off fence. So I'm just going to, for the moment, trust that's what's going to happen. But, going to be very agile tomorrow and be prepared to change my thinking. But anyway, we've got race 3, number 4, Shibley, backing up from Gosford last Wednesday, where it had to take off early and had a bit of a wide trip and was a sitting shot for its winner, the stablemate Solo Apex. I think that should top it off nicely for this. Another thing I'm terrified of is that the stablemate actually owned in the same interest, Palace, is being written by Jay McDonald. And I don't know why that jockey booking's taken place, but here we are. I'm just going to try not to overthink that one too much and go with my first thought, number 4, Shibley. We'll have 100 on it.
Yes.
And then over to race 5. Now, I do have Jay McDonald in my camp this time, which is a bit of a relief. Number 3, 8 Diamonds. We'll have the other 100 on her. She was very good after a wide trip 2 starts ago, then just got into an awkward spot and virtually took no part in the race in a very strong Saturday race last time. Back to midweek mare's grade. It's a track playing like I think it is, a bit down the middle. Barrier 8 and J-Mac will be a plus, not a minus, and at $5, I think she's a pretty good bet.
I'd love to know the percentages on horses from Saturday dropping back to Wednesdays and just winning, especially in Sydney, Mark.
I don't have that at my fingertips, but I can tell you even if just their ratings, their performance levels do seem to increase just with that drop in grade, drop in pressure.
Question for the mailbag team. Here we go, boys. Have you ever seen a horse race less tractable than Frost Flowers race 4 at Flemington Saturday? It looked like it was wandering home from the pub, if you can remember what that is, after 15 pints. In all seriousness, when you see a horse over race that badly, do you write it off until you see some improved manners on race day? Or do you want to keep a closer eye on a potential gear change as next start that may help it settle and improve dramatically, Jack?
Well, that's a deep, detailed, really, really good question. And he's sort of answered it himself. You need to see a gear change, maybe a rider change, maybe a jump out.
Yeah. Good morning, Gareth and the Mailbag team. Weekly listener and love what the team put out. This is for Peter. At what stage do you jump off your selections? Two weeks ago, you tipped a horse with great confidence called Tell 'Em We're Coming. The horse ran a great race and finished second. It ran again on Saturday and wasn't mentioned in any of your selections, but wins easily and at a price. Andrew, that's a very good point. I tried to tell Peter that and he jumped off, Pete. Like, what were you thinking? You've been in great form, and it was a great bet. Tell 'Em We're Coming.
Settle down, Gareth. Settle down. Keep your pants on. Tell 'Em We're Coming. Yeah. Through gate one on a day where it was a heavy rails bias, which no one could predict before the event. The horse drifted on the day, which is fine, but Notorious One was also $2.90 to $1.50 at the jump. So
oh my
as that
God.
Happens, all of a sudden the price changes. Now, for me, that wasn't a betting race. I had no interest whatsoever because clearly if Tellum were coming, gets into that lovely spot where it did, it's going to be, you know, getting every favour on the day. But no, if Notorious One settled on the rail, it would have pantsed it. So, look, that's not a betting race. And for me, again, like you're looking at that race overall and you're thinking, well, how much does Tellum We Come and have to improve here on a neutral track to be beating Notorious One? And the answer is probably about 4 lengths. You got that favour on the weekend, courtesy of the track.
Jeez, we poked the bear then. We apologise, Pete. We didn't mean to get you angry. We're only having a little bit of fun. Go. Jeez, what's happening over in Perth? You had a lockdown. You don't have to really get that angry, Pete. Settle down. We love you. Literary Magnate, $8 and 1,000 guineas prelude Saturday. What are your thoughts on that, Dicko?
I think that's a little bit tight, but it's an interesting horse, 100%.
All right, then. What about...
keen to see it run.
Sam's that, Pete. Do you give it a chance in the Group 1 at Caulfield on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. Each way?
I only bet wins, Gareth. I'll be taking some advice on Dicko. But look, the horse loves to get back again. We want to see horses making some ground there, but it's got the ability to win that.
All right, lads. Thanks very much for that. We'll catch up with you next week.
Bye for now.
There we go. There's a midweek masterclass on this Tuesday morning. Thanks to the Mailbag team. It's 11:21. We'll take a quick break.